Friends with Brews.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
You know what's really funny? I was just listening to a recent Accidental Tech podcast where they spent a long time going back and forth introducing themselves because some listener was complaining he couldn't tell, you know, who they are. And it's like, oh, hi, Marco here, blah, 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 blah. Oh, Casey here, blah, blah, blah.
Hi, I'm Casey.
We have gotten that right every time. We always introduce each other because you're Scott and I am Peter and we sound nothing alike.
We don't sound anything alike. And here's the funny thing about that. Does anyone think that any of those three guys sound alike, especially John Siracusa?
No, John Siracusa with his name alone, you know, voice, he's totally distinct. You can't.
Yeah, what did he describe his voice as? Whatever he described it as, it was hilarious and accurate.
It was, of course, in a Siracusa sort of way. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that person was there, but I did appreciate how they tried to accommodate the listener's desires. And like, oh, Marco here, you know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, Peter here.
Peter, I think that the listener that they had that was so confused about who was clearly listening at 3X. That's the only explanation I have.
That could explain it. Okay, thank you, Scott.
Do you remember a previous podcast we had, Peter, where I tried to fire listeners who listened at more than 1X? Because I just thought, if you don't want to hear me, if you're so eager to get through our podcast so you can get on to the next one, just go yourselves.
Was that the same episode when I fired my clients?
Probably, yeah.
All right, well, on that note, back for round two, we have Jax Abbey Pre-Pro.
Ooh.
The Pre-Prohibition Pilsner. It's very alliterative. And alliterative. Wow, I sound like I'm slurring my speech and had a beer already and haven't even opened the can.
I think it's a pre and post-pro.
So it's an amateur and it's retired? What does that mean?
No, I mean, that was available both before and after Prohibition. Because clearly Prohibition
obviously
is in our past in this timeline.
And I'm drinking this one now. So here we go. What do you got?
I have a new one. This is from Little Beast Brewing, which I had before. I had the Three Owls or whatever the, I don't know, some dark beer that I really liked and can't find anymore. This one is called Little Beast Brewing Wood Chopper. It is a wheat beer, and on the can it says, a classic Belgian-style wit beer with coriander, curacao orange peel, and a twist of lime peel.
Okay, that sounds like that's right up my alley.
And wait, attention, Peter, to whom I am speaking.
Yes, Scott.
The ever-important stat of alcohol by volume, 4.5%.
ABV. All right, 4.5. That means you can drink a lot of it.
As I always say to that, speak for yourself. Okay, I'm going to pour it. Does it sound like a wit beer to your trained ear? Because you are a wit beer connoisseur.
It sounds pretty white. It sounds pretty white, yeah.
And it looks like it, too. See?
All right. Cheers, friend.
Cheers, friend. All right. First, let's talk about you running 10 miles. I don't know why that's significant, because in my mind, you're always running 10 miles.
Well, this is the longest single run that I have done since the marathon back in April, actually. Mm. So that's why. It's been like 4 months since I've run this distance.
Part of that was because you've had injuries, yeah?
No, not after the marathon. This time I did not injure myself.
Oh, okay. It was before the marathon. That's right. You were telling Adam and I a story about running around a parking lot while your car was doing something or something. I don't remember.
That was different. That was when my Tesla died again.
Yeah. And you felt a twinge in your knee, but that was pre-marathon.
The twinge in the knee happened when I was running like a 10K.
Mm.
And that was a week before last Thanksgiving.
No, this one was, you were telling Adam and I a story about you were waiting for something, so you went off running down some road. You were like in some business area or something. I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. It's on our podcast. I'm sure my search engine will find it.
Check it out on the podcast. I don't remember it, so. Okay. But you were talking, now since you want to bring it down back to focus on stuff like that, yeah. Apparently, companies are forcing employees to go back to work, including Zoom.
That's kind of hilarious.
It's a little bit ironic. Yeah, Zoom, they're bringing its employees back to the office as pandemic restrictions are easing. Staff will be required at least 3 days a week starting in October. And I thought this comment was great. This move marks a shift for Zoom, who embraced remote work more than many tech companies. At the height of the pandemic, Zoom became ubiquitous as people used it for work meetings, school, and socializing. You think? So, yeah, tech sectors are rethinking their hybrid and remote policies. So it's kind of interesting.
Here's what I think, honestly, part of it is. Look, for companies that manufacture things, like Apple gets a lot of grief for it, but Apple does manufacture some things. The company I work at, there is definitely a gigantic hands-on component.
Monolith 3000 manufactures things.
Right. And even though I'm in a group that primarily is concerned about software, we do have a lot of times where you have to be at the equipment to watch it run and to swap things and to do stuff to the tools. And so I get it when people have hardware involved, but Zoom is a freaking software company. Their whole job is that they are the king of remote collaboration. But the king not only has no clothes, it has no remote workers either, apparently.
I wonder, is their infrastructure, do they own their own, or are they AWS and Azure? They must be Azure.
I have no idea.
I'm assuming that they're...
I would think so. I can't see Zoom being like Google and building their whole data centers.
Overnight for COVID? Yeah, probably not.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny and that we should cover on that. So we have now covered
What I was starting to say is I think it's a bit of a power play on the part of these companies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I really do. I think it's a...
No, you work for us.
Keep employee expectations from getting too amazing type of thing. I really do, because there's a lot of unions going on. There's a lot of people who want to work remotely. There's a lot of people who want to get paid X and then live in a cheaper location. Gee, what a crime, Peter. How dare people want to live somewhere where it's cheaper if their job is remote?
I know. Yeah, and I remember when the great exodus was going on, when people were moving out, that the prediction was companies were going to start, oh, you want to live in Nebraska but work for us in Silicon Valley? Well, we're going to lower your pay, you know? And it was like, okay.
Right. And some did have different pay, not grades, but different, you know, pay amounts depending on where you were living. Like, they would compensate you more if you lived in the Bay Area because no one can afford to live there.
Right. So, I mean, I like that. I, for the last 6-7 years, I've been doing it kind of backwards because my primary engagement, you know, employer, if you will, was based in New Hampshire, and I've been living just north of Boston.
Right.
So if I was smart, I would get a job with a company based in, like, you know, New York or San Francisco and then work from Vermont. Except Vermont's not a good example because the cost of living up in Vermont is not all that great. The taxes are the same as down here in Massachusetts, and you don't have infrastructure to take advantage of. So,
yeah, let me ask you this. Where on the East Coast is it actually cheap to live?
Maybe Maine? I don't know.
That you would live?
I could see myself having a place out in Maine. That could be kind of nice. Yeah. But, you know, again, there's a lot to take into consideration, like snow plowing. And again, infrastructure, you know, I'm actually been thinking recently about getting a place that's off the grid where I'd have a giant solar panel this will be my second home, right? So a place in the city and another place somewhere else. I've been thinking it might be kind of nice just, you know, like, you don't have to be an insane prepper to, you know, want something like this. It's just like, look, you know, half of Vermont got washed away again last month.
Yeah. Oh, no. Peter, a time is rapidly coming when many people's only homes will start to seem like a bad idea for several reasons, whether it be, hey, my air conditioner is running 24/7 and now it's conked out, or hey, it turns out that roofs blow away really easy. There's going to be a lot of things that our current homes were not built for that people are going to encounter. And no, you're absolutely right. It's not, you don't have to be an insane prepper anymore. I think the time is just coming.
Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. May we live in interesting times.
We do. We are cursed with the life of interesting times. Anyway, but yeah, I'm definitely feeling it today. My running buddy and I went out, did 10 miles together yesterday for the first time. And like I said, it's been many months since I've done, 4 months since I've run that distance, but a long time since he and I have run that distance together too. So that was fun. And this weekend we went to a bachelor party, and it was my running buddy's brother's bachelor party. And he put this all together, got tickets. We went and saw the Red Sox game. They played the Blue Jays.
Ooh.
It was actually an interesting game. It was fun. I was not bored at all, which says something for me in a baseball game.
Even baseball games that you attend in person?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, you can get bored in a baseball game in person.
It happens. It's a lot harder than watching it on TV. Watching on TV, you can get bored within 20 minutes.
Correct. 20 seconds. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it a lot. And at the bottom of the ninth, you know, we thought maybe the Sox, they might pull off a comeback, and they didn't. They were down at 1.3-0.
They continued to be the Red Sox.
Yeah, they were. They were down 3-0. They tied it up at 3. The Blue Jays pulled ahead by one, and there was a time, like, there were two guys out on base. Like, if we knock this man out, and whoever hit that fly ball, it was just, like, 4 feet short of going out of the park. If it had gone just a few feet higher, it would have gone out of the park. They would have gotten 3 runs in, and they would have won it, but didn't happen. So, oh, well. But, hey, we had fun. We also went to King's, a barcade, you know, dining, bowling thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't. Folks, if you're looking at going to King's down in, I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's the one down right near the Heinz Convention Center. Go somewhere else. Just save yourself the hassle. Just don't.
Pretty bad. Mediocre.
Public service announcement. That's all. The service was terrible. The service was just terrible. And the food was what you would expect in a, you know, bowling alley.
Generic pub food.
Okay, now you're getting me going on to it. Okay, so the beer. The beer was the saving grace. They had good beers. You know what? The waiter screwed up my beer order. Twice.
How?
Brought me the wrong beer. Twice.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
That is a severe lack of attention to detail. But what did you order and what did you get?
I ordered a Jack's Abbey House Lager. And the first thing I got was a Cisco Brewer's Whale's Tail Pale Ale.
Okay, those don't sound anything remotely like each other.
Nor do they look anything like each other. And had the lights been a little brighter, I would have noticed that my beer was too dark before I took a big jug of it. And I was like, this tastes like a pale ale. He takes it back. He brings me a Sam Adams Summer. Also not a Jack's Abbey. Meanwhile, the bachelor, two seats down, is drinking this. He's like, this is not a Sam Summer. I'm like, dude, you got my Jack's Abbey Helles Lager. Oh, and Greg, you down there at the end. Yeah, I have your pale ale here. So,
I mean, you can get away with that on the 10th drink, but on the first drink, no.
Or the second.
Right. Or the second, bastard.
Anyway, I had the rare occasion to be a pet owner or caregiver for a while again for the last 10 days.
Okay, so you did mean floof care and not floor care. Okay, Pete.
Floofs, not floors. Yes, the floofs.
Okay, gotcha.
So my neighbor has 3 dogs, 2 Bichon Frise, whom I refer to as the bitchin' frizzies. And this little terrier rat mix thing, who is my favorite. He is the cutest little thing. She went to Italy for 10 days.
Uh-huh.
And the prospect of my girlfriend not being able to see her favorite little Bichon Frise for 10 days was too much.
Yeah.
So, and they don't like to be separated. So, possibly against my better judgment, I said, well, I'll take care of the little rat. You take care of that one. And the third one, I mean, he's part of the deal. So, you know, we just did. And 10 days. I mean, we learned a lot. We got along. We didn't kill anyone. They didn't kill us. But boy, I got to tell you, last night, it was really nice having my couch back again. Because I had been evicted from that for the past week plus.
So. 3 dogs. They'll take a couch.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, even small ones. But yeah, so I was a pet caregiver person for about, you know, 10 days again for the last week. And so, and we did a really good job splitting the responsibilities. So I would take them out in the first thing in the morning, feed them, walk them either before or after my morning medication. Well, yes, I take my creatine, meditation, and run. So often I would take them out as my warm-up walk. Uh-huh. And then come back and then go out for my, you know, like a 5K or something like that.
Yeah. That's cool.
But anyway, that was fun. So, what else? Apparently Peter either does not or does. I do, or what is this? What are we talking about? Schrodinger's breakfast?
You said something about breakfast in there. You said, and breakfast. You listed breakfast as one of the topics you wanted to talk about. And I wasn't sure if it was I never eat breakfast or I always eat breakfast or I had the most amazing breakfast.
Well, I'm taking another look at nutrition and stuff, and I'm trying to knock off a few things. I think I mentioned to you, or maybe it was Adam, that I bought an Inside Tracker subscription recently. So you give a blood test. They drew like 6 vials of blood.
Yeah.
And they run you all these different markers, these different biomarkers that don't show up, you know, normal, like a normal physical at your doctor's not going to be worried about all these different things. But this is a little more, they would say, more cutting edge research. And a lot of athletes swear by this. Whereas the medical industry, you know, is more likely to say it's just not important enough for us to look at. So we're not going to care about it. So following the suggestions from Inside Tracker, you know, I've changed a couple of things, like up the intake of legumes, lower the intake of this. My cholesterol level was up a little higher again than where I want to see it. And they said, eat more oats, eat more, you know, make sure you eat like 2 tablespoons of flax seeds every day. Mm-hmm. You're already taking creatine, so keep doing that. And then another doctor whose work I've been following recommends collagen peptides. And the good thing is collagen peptides, there's a lot of protein in that. So that counts towards my morning protein goal. So what sure. I've been starting with in the morning is a small shake, a little bit of almond milk, some peanut butter powder, which is just ground up dehydrated peanuts, mm-hmm. collagen, flaxseed, creatine, and some psyllium capsules. But I just open the capsules and dump them right in for, you know, even more fiber. And that's been my breakfast for the last few days. Feels all right. It's not heavy. It doesn't stop me if I'm going to go out for a run immediately, you know, that morning. So that's nice, you know, so I can get just a little bit of nutrition in there before I go out. And if not, it's enough to hold me over until around lunchtime too. So I've been doing that, just experimenting with that. Modified my Amazon subscribe and saves to have those things to kind of put those on autopilot. So, you know, I'm like at the point of like, all right, I guess I can afford to spend a little money on my own health and nutrition. So let's see how that goes. Maybe I should have been doing this for 30 years. I don't know. Probably.
I don't know. I think you're doing pretty well. That sounds cool. Yeah, let us know how that goes. I'm particularly intrigued in how it works as far as your energy for the day, your energy for workouts, stuff like that. See if you notice any difference.
We shall see. And that's the thing is, for me, my body is not very, you know, quick to respond to stuff like that. The one time that I've taken something that made a huge difference was the cordyceps mushroom extract. Mm-hmm. Something I started just around a year ago. And I noticed, like, right off the bat, with everything else being equal, no other changes, I was sleeping less but feeling like I had more energy.
So you were sleeping better while you were sleeping, probably.
I think so, yeah. And I was also, you know, it was in a big heat wave last summer when I was prepping for my ultra marathon. And I remember I was out in the high 80s, 90 degree weather running most days. And most days, it, you know, I was going slow, but I was still banging out 10, 12, 20 miles.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think there's probably a correlation there.
That's interesting. That is impressive too, by the way.
Cordyceps. I like them. I'll send you a link.
Okay. I've ridden a bike 100 miles in the 90 degrees temperature range before, but I've never run very far in heat.
Right. It's work. It's work. You're going to get hot. You're going to sweat a lot. You're going to get, you know, dehydrated, etc. So it's the intersection of fun and not fun.
Hey, there's another intersection of fun and not fun. And that has to do with, have I been paid? Have I been pwned? What was this all about?
So the formerly completely free service, Have I Been Pwned, and that's PWNED, haveibeenpwned.com, now has a pricing structure. So to summarize this, Have I Been Pwned is introducing a paid subscription for large-scale domain searches, but most domains will still be searchable for free. Okay. It's based on the number of breached email addresses on the domain. So if you're a big company and you're tracking thousands of people's creds being leaked, it's probably going to be worth you paying for a service like this.
Yeah.
You and me, we're probably going to be flying under the free radar until this significantly changes, right? Because, you know, they're doing like up to 25 breached addresses in a domain, and this is the domain monitoring. So you can just punch in your own email address and it will monitor that for you just fine. But if you have like 100 domains on scottwilsey.com or something, then you need to pay a few bucks a month. So I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine too. The guy has to make money. And to be honest, I've actually wondered how he's been around and been effective for so long. But like we were talking about earlier, 1Password has it integrated in their Watchtower functionality, where if a site that you log into, mm-hmm. you have creds for in 1Password, if one of those sites has been breached and it's known and it's on Have I Been Pwned, it'll tell you.
Right.
And I'm sure there must be some financial relationship there. I'm sure they didn't go to him and say, hey, you know, we're going to put this thing in. So they must already be paying. I wonder if it's going to affect their payment or if now he's just bringing that forward to other people.
And the Firefox Foundation also, too, because it's been integrated into Mozilla, too.
Yeah.
They've been paying for that. So he's had some corporate sponsorship, you could say, for some time now.
Okay.
But now it's going more mainstream. More direct.
Now he's saying if Monolith 3000 or I don't know who would be tracking a bunch of things. I mean, I guess security researchers would be tracking tons of domains. I don't know who. But anyway.
Exactly.
People like that are going to have to pay some money. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And, you know, domains, again, with lots of addresses on them. So, again, you know, it's not that much. It's a fairly affordable service as far as things like this go.
It's probably actually less than what companies that are integrating his service like 1Password and Firefox are probably already paying him.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm probably sure that the licensing fees they're paying are exceed that.
I just thought it was brilliant. I really hope he uses Have I Been Paid for those people.
Have I Been Paid? Well, you can message him. You know, you can send him an email. You know, he's
hey, Troy. Like,
I think he's TroyHunt.com. Yeah. Have the service called Have I Been Paid.
Your business service should be called Have I Been Paid. And your free one should be Have I Been Pwned.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Brother. All right. What else?
Have you ever had this happen, Peter? This started happening to me today, and I don't know why. First of all, last night, my phone just randomly rebooted itself, and I don't know why. I have a...
That has happened.
I have the beta of iOS 17, and so I've got a little... what are they called, those Qi chargers? MagSafe? I have a MagSafe charger that I can put it on for... I can't remember what they call that new display. You rotate it sideways, and you put it on one of those stands, and it becomes a clock, and it displays some widgets and stuff. I don't...
Nightstand or standby mode or something like that.
Standby or stand face or face
night stand, stand by face stand, stand night by
that sounds
face
painful.
Stand face palm headstand maybe, but face stand. Jeez.
Anyway, it rebooted itself while it was on that. I noticed because all of a sudden the room was bright and I looked over and the little white apple was in the middle of the screen. So I thought that's odd. And when it came back up, I picked it up and I have my SIM pin locked and it didn't ask for my SIM pin when I logged into my phone. And I thought that's really weird because anytime that phone reboots, it should be asking me for my SIM pin.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in to settings and it said, do you want to lock your SIM? And I thought I already have. So I tried to lock it and it kept saying failed. So I rebooted it one more time. And this time when it came up, it asked me for my SIM pin and it accepted my SIM pin and everything was normal. And me being me, I thought, oh, okay, what kind of 0 day is on my phone? Probably nothing, but that's me. And then now today, ever since then, I have a bunch of, you know, the HomeKit alerts that I have set up in my home app that are only supposed to happen when I'm not home. Like when certain doors open, fine, but I don't want it buzzing me all the time when I'm at home and those doors open. I only want to know when I'm not home. It would be really nice if I could say when nobody's home. That would be the best. But HomeKit doesn't seem to have a way to do that. Anyway, so what I do is I have those set up for when I'm not home, and they started buzzing me like crazy today. So today I keep getting all these alerts for things that, and I've gone into the home app and looked. Yep, they're still set to when I'm away. And as far as I could tell, it thought I was near my house, but not at home. And I don't know why.
I know that for the last 2 days, the camera is offline. The camera is online, has been going ballistic.
Yeah.
And I meant to reboot my router and my Eufy hub and my Apple TV, and I forgot to, and it's been quiet today.
So do you have any automation set up that, where like notifications and stuff that only notify you when you're not home?
Yes. So when I am home, I want to know if anyone's at the front door.
Right.
When I'm not home, I want to know if any motion is detected on any of the cameras. All right. Or maybe not like pets in the backyard. That's normal.
Right.
But if something is in my living room, yeah, I want to know what's going on there.
Sure. Right?
If the front door, anytime the front door gets locked or unlocked, I get a notification as well, whether I'm home or not.
Yeah. And that's my rationale for doing it. Like we have one camera in our living room that we just leave there because most time we're not in the living room. So we don't like...
Mm-hmm.
Like we have a camera in our family room that we just have it turn around and face the wall unless we go on vacation. Then we turn it around and have it face the family room. So when we're gone, we can look and see what's going on. But we don't, you know, nobody here wants to think that that camera's staring at them all the time otherwise.
Right.
But the one in the living room, we're not in there a whole lot. So I have that one notify me when there's motion, but only when I'm not home. That's the best compromise I can do. So when I'm at Monolith 3000, luckily for me, I get to kind of do a hybrid thing. But when I'm at Monolith 3000, I will get notifications from those when Anna or Olivia walk past it. Or when, especially when they're playing with the cat, because generally when they're playing, they're going to be in there, you know. So tons of times I'll see a message that says, oh, the camera detected somebody that looks like Anna Wilsey and an animal.
And an animal. Huh. What are the odds? Hey,
oh, no.
There's someone who looks like my wife and an animal in my living room. Maybe I should be worried.
So anyway, it's hilarious. I love those. I love those alerts so much. They just crack me up every time.
And an animal.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know. It was kind of weird because I've never had it be unreliable for me in terms of not realizing that, hey, I'm in my house. You can quit notifying me about those things that I said don't ever tell me unless I'm not in my house. And it just, annoying.
Oh, brother.
Oh, you know what? One thing I do want to tell you, Peter, since we last talked, my Raycast repertoire has increased.
Dude, you have been casting rays left and right.
Yeah, and I can't remember what all we talked about, but some of the ones that I do want to talk about are snippets, for sure, I've gotten better at, but also history. Clipboard history. It's a pretty good clipboard history manager, too, because I was going to talk all about paste and how I was using paste and doing this and that. I don't need paste anymore because the clipboard history in Raycast is good enough for me. It'll hold on to stuff for a month, but like I can copy multiple things and then I can easily send them to you. Well, you can also change that. You can make it hold on to them for less time or longer, but like it'll hold on. So I can copy multiple things and then I can paste the last one in a message to you. And then I can go back in history real quick and grab the picture even, like, and then paste that in. And it just does it wherever your cursor is. Whatever app your cursor's in, it'll just paste it right there. It's great. And, like, editing words, like, a lot of time when I'm typing a podcast, you know how title case, you don't capitalize of and and certain other words?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just select text, and I just hit Raycast change case or whatever it's called, and then I select title case, and boom, it does it for me right in the document I'm in. There's just so many things that it can do that I used to use other separate apps for. And now it's all in there.
That's pretty slick.
And I gotta say, I talked to you last time about its ChatGPT integration.
Yep.
And I don't know why. I'm sure it's just totally circumstantial. But ever since I started using its chat window for asking it programming questions,
mm-hmm.
It hasn't been an idiot. It has been telling me the truth. And it's been giving me code samples that work the first time.
The truth.
Now, it's still accessing GPT 3.5. It's not accessing anything different, so it has to be coincidence, but it's working great for me, Peter. I gotta tell you, it really saved me a lot of time on some stuff I was doing this weekend.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now you gotta just get it to give you some, you know, system administration tasks and suggestions.
Raycast is a win, I think. A huge upgrade over Alfred.
Sweet. I'm not using it to the extent that you are yet, but I'm getting there. Slowly. Very slowly.
You will. You will. All right. Well, what else you got? Oh, I do want to review this beer since normally we give thoughts about our beer.
Yeah. If you want to hear my review of my beer, just go back to the previous episode.
First of all, look at this can. This can, the artwork, I got to find out who drew this because it looks exactly like the artwork that somebody drew on the jersey for the Portland Century one of the years that I rode the Portland Century.
Hmm. Okay.
And they're a local person, so I'd be amazed if it wasn't them. Anyway, I really like this beer. It's nice and light, and I've drunk 16 ounces of it. And as you said, I'm not drunk at all, so 4.5 for the win. It's a good, easy drinking wheat. I think my wife would like this.
Even if she was desperate?
The only problem is she does not want 16 ounces at a time.
Cool, but that's when you share. That's when you share.
She generally wants 8.
Oh, perfect.
Anyway, I say this is a thumbs up. But the problem is Whole Foods, like I said before, Little Beast Brewing and Whole Foods, they tend to have different beers in there at different times. There's three of them that I can always get. And one of them is an IPA, and two of them are IPAs, and I don't want that. And the other one looks like something I don't want. And I still haven't had that other one that I've had from them come back yet, the Three Owls or whatever it was. I want that one, but this is a good one. So I hope they keep this one. Maybe they should sponsor our podcast. Maybe I can talk to these guys.
They should. Absolutely they should. Why not? Scott.
Peter, since you're not a sponsor and you have a button, what do you want to do to that button?
I want to push that button, but tell us about that search page, though. Did you fix it? Is it working now?
I did. If you go to friendswithbrews.com.
And it's BREWS.com.
Not friends with bruises, friends with brews. And if you look at the menu, there's a little search icon all the way at the end. And if you click that, that's the only place the search is located now. And it's not confusing anymore because when you start typing a search term, you can see your results popping up below the menu. So if you search for Little Beast, you will see that I have had a Third Bird oatmeal stout from them before. And that's the one that I want to have back again. And I can't find it.
The result type is beer.
Bastards.
But it was a thumbs up. You gave it a thumbs up. So that's good.
Oh, it was amazing. It was way better. It was much better than this, even though I like this and I will give this a thumbs up. I want that one.
Excellent.
So I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to try to get them to sponsor us. I'm going to cold call or cold spam or whatever I'm going to do.
There you go. Cold spam.
Cold spam. I'll just say, hey, look, we're small, but we're rising in influence. And we...
I mean, we doubled our numbers last week when we had that second person dial in, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I say we wrap this up. And if people want to find us, we've already told them that we're at friendswithbrews.com. That's BREWS.
Yes, and if you go there and you click the friends, you will see our... I don't want Peter to try to say my Mastodon account anymore. It's very
hilarious,
painful.
Hilarious,
it's kind of traumatic, to be honest. And so just go to there and then click on some random social network links.
Yeah, just click on random links. It's great. Yeah, while you're there, on the follow link, add my mushroom referral link there too. Let's get more people buying cordyceps. Cordyceps, people.
Oh, now you're sales.
Yes.
Now you're one of those slimy, schmoozy salesmen.
Yes, exactly. Do it.
I tell you what, Peter, if you can get them to sponsor us, I will happily add it there.
Perfect. I will try. On that note, it's time to push the big red button.
The big orange button.
Tell your friends.